Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a topic that I know a lot of you are interested in: manipulation in close relationships.
Oh yeah, it's a tough one.
It can be really hard to spot. And we're going to try to give you some tools to help you do just that.
Yeah, that's right.
Our main source for this deep dive is this fascinating article by a Danish psychologist, Torben.
Okay.
And he runs a psychology practice and has this article up on his website.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's basically focusing on helping people identify and then hopefully counter the manipulative tactics that are being used against them by people that are supposed to be close to them.
Oh, that's really interesting. I like how he focuses on the practical side of things, you know, giving people tools to actually deal with these situations.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So he starts off, you know, kind of setting the stage by defining manipulation.
Right.
And he doesn't really go into a really clinical definition.
Okay.
It's more like, you know, trying to explain it in a way that people can really relate to their own experiences. So he says that manipulation is basically, you know, when someone is trying to benefit at someone else's expense, but they're doing it using these hidden tactics.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's really the core of it, isn't it? That hidden aspect. Like, the victim often doesn't even realize they're being manipulated until it's too late.
That's exactly what makes it so insidious.
Right.
It's not like you've got some over-the-top villain,
right,
you know, twirling their mustache.
Yeah.
It can be really subtle, and it can creep in very, very slowly.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, something's not right here.
You're like, how did I get here?
Exactly. So are all manipulators created equal, or are there different, you know, I don't know, flavors of manipulation?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's something that Torben actually addresses in the article.
Okay.
He outlines two main types of manipulators, narcissistic and disocial.
Okay. I've heard of those terms, but just to remind our listeners,
yeah, sure,
what exactly do those mean in this context?
So a narcissistic manipulator is driven by this need for admiration and control.
Huh.
They're constantly seeking ways to boost their own ego.
Oh, so it's all about them.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
And their own fragile ego.
It's very much about protecting that ego and making sure they always come out on top.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, you have manipulators with a dissocial personality. That's what used to be called, you know, psychopaths.
Okay.
And they're often driven by material gain or financial gain. Mm. So they're using people as tools to get what they want.
So one type is looking for sort of the emotional high ground.
Yes.
And then the other one is after something more tangible,
right,
rewards.
Exactly. And of course, there can be overlap, right? You can have a narcissist who also feels entitled to material benefits.
Right.
But the common thread running through both types is this desire for control.
Okay.
Manipulators need to feel like they're the ones calling the shots, pulling the strings.
They need to be in control.
They have to have that control. And they'll twist situations and relationships to make that happen.
Okay. So we've defined manipulation. We've looked at some of the motivations behind it.
Yeah.
But let's get down to the nitty gritty here. How can we actually spot these tactics?
Yeah.
I mean, in real life.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that Torben does such a good job of in this article.
Okay.
He gives us some concrete examples to look out for.
Perfect. That's what we need.
And one of the key things he highlights is the way that manipulators use language as a weapon. They'll carefully choose their words to frame situations in a way that benefits them.
Okay.
And they often present their own opinions as absolute truths.
So they try to remove any room for doubt or disagreement.
Exactly.
Like, this is how it is, take it or leave it.
Exactly. This is the reality and you better just accept it. And they'll use phrases like, it's evident that, or clearly you can see.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And it's designed to shut down any kind of questioning or critical thinking.
Yeah. It's like they don't want you to even think about it.
No.
Just accept what they're saying.
And another tactic is to use all this kind of complex jargon or official sounding language.
Yeah.
Almost to create a false sense of authority.
Oh, like in that Milgram experiment.
Exactly.
You know, where people were more likely to obey orders if they came from someone in a lab coat.
That's right. And it's the same principle at play here.
Interesting.
Just because someone sounds smart or official doesn't mean they're right or ethical.
Right, right.
But of course, sometimes this tactic can backfire if the manipulator's language becomes too ridiculous or over the top.
Yeah, you can only lay it on so thick.
Exactly. But more often than not, it works to intimidate people and silence dissent.
Right. And Torben also uses this really interesting analogy of, he calls it the dompter.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a Danish word for an animal trainer.
Right.
And that's interesting.
Yeah.
How does animal training relate to human manipulation?
Well, think about it. How do animal trainers work? They use rewards and punishments to shape behavior.
Okay.
Right? And manipulators do the same thing, but with people. They reward the behavior that serves their needs.
So that could be like compliments or gifts.
Absolutely. Or just attention, you know, even just being present.
Right, right.
And then they punish the behavior that they don't like, such as questioning their motives or challenging their authority.
Okay.
So that could involve anything from angry outbursts to using very loaded words.
Or even like accusations, I bet.
Absolutely.
Like turning it around on you.
Making you feel like the one in the wrong. Exactly.
So it's almost like they're trying to like condition you to become like a trained pet.
In a way, yeah. They want you to be constantly walking on eggshells, afraid to upset them, always kind of second-guessing yourself.
Whoa, who's worried about setting them off?
Exactly. And it's all about maintaining that control.
And they do that by keeping you off balance and unsure of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where we start to see how insidious this can really get.
So it's not just about control. It's about making you doubt yourself.
It's about undermining your confidence, your sense of self.
Right.
And that's how they really get their hooks in you.
Yeah, that's scary. And, you know, speaking of things that are scary, one of the things that I found really unsettling was this idea of, you know, manipulators often have hidden agendas.
Right. They're not always upfront about what they want.
Okay, so what are some red flags that we should be looking out for?
Well, a big one is secrecy. You know, if you're thinking about making a major life decision with someone, like buying a house together or having children, and they're being super secretive about their finances,
right,
or other crucial details, that's a massive red flag.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge commitment. You have to be able to trust each other fully.
Absolutely. And if they're constantly trying to rush you into big decisions.
Okay.
Without really talking it through.
Or considering all the angles.
Exactly. Like they're trying to sweep you off your feet before you have a chance to think things through.
Okay, so don't be afraid to slow things down.
Yeah.
Ask those tough questions. And really get to know someone before making any big leaps.
Exactly. Trust your gut. If something feels off, it probably is.
Don't ignore those red flags.
Don't ignore them. They're there for a reason.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about language. We've talked about hidden agendas. But there's something even more disturbing that Torben talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it, you know, using a puppet.
Ah, yes. That's a really chilling tactic.
So what's that all about?
It's where the manipulator doesn't actually confront you directly. They use someone else to do their dirty work.
Oh, so it's like having a layer of insulation.
Exactly.
So they can maintain this kind of plausible deniability.
Precisely.
Like, oh, it wasn't me, it was them.
Right. And this puppet could be anyone, really. It could be a friend, a family member, even your own child.
Oh, wow.
And Torben gives this really heartbreaking example in the article.
Okay.
About this guy who's basically manipulated into confronting his child's father, all for the manipulator's own gain.
So not only is she manipulating this guy, but then she's also potentially damaging the relationship between the father and his child.
Absolutely.
So there's like this extra layer of harm there.
Yeah, it's creating this whole web of dysfunction.
Right. And it serves multiple purposes for the manipulator.
Right.
It lets them intimidate their target without getting their hands dirty.
Right.
It undermines the target's relationships.
Yep.
And it reinforces their own sense of control.
Exactly.
It's like a win-win-win for them, unfortunately.
Sadly, yes.
This is where it gets really scary because it shows how far-reaching the impact of manipulation can be.
That's right.
It's not just about the immediate victim. It ripples out.
It affects everyone around them.
And sometimes the people closest to the manipulator become unwitting accomplices.
Yeah, they get pulled into the game without even realizing it.
Exactly. It's important to remember that manipulators are often very good at hiding their true intentions.
Yes.
Even for people who think they know them best.
It's all part of the act.
Okay, so we've talked about language, we've talked about hidden agendas, and now this puppet master tactic. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
What I'm curious about is, are there certain personality types or situations that make someone more vulnerable to manipulation? Is it just random?
That's a great question, and it's something that researchers have been trying to understand for a long time.
Right.
And while anyone can be vulnerable to manipulation under the right circumstances, there are certain factors that can increase the risk.
Yeah.
For example, manipulators are often drawn to people they perceive as easy to exploit and control. So that might be someone who's naturally trusting, avoids conflict, or has a strong need for approval.
So someone who might not be as quick to question motives or push back.
Exactly. And while anyone can be vulnerable, Torben does point out that individuals with dyslexia, especially those who haven't developed strong analytical skills, can sometimes be more susceptible.
Why would dyslexia be a factor?
Well, some individuals with dyslexia struggle with processing complex information or picking up on those subtle nuances in language,
okay,
which can make them more vulnerable to deception.
So it's not about blaming individuals, but just understanding that certain challenges can sometimes be exploited.
Exactly.
And that knowledge is power.
Absolutely. The more we understand about how manipulation works, the better equipped we are to protect ourselves and those we care about.
And it's not just about specific vulnerabilities.
Right.
It's also about situational factors.
Right.
Right. Like someone going through a period of stress or grief or personal upheaval, they might be more susceptible.
Absolutely. When you're already feeling vulnerable, it's much easier to fall prey to someone who appears to offer support and stability.
Even if their motives aren't so pure.
Exactly. And this is particularly true when it comes to choosing a romantic partner.
Right.
You know, we might overlook red flags because we're caught up in the excitement of new love, or maybe we're just longing for connection and afraid to be alone.
So you need to be extra vigilant.
Yeah.
Especially in those early stages.
Absolutely. Before you get too emotionally invested.
So what are some signs we should be watching out for?
Pay attention to how your partner handles conflict.
Okay.
Do they shut down communication? Become defensive or blaming? Do they avoid having those deep, meaningful conversations?
Those are definitely signs to watch out for.
Yeah. And do they try to control your finances or other aspects of your life?
Okay. It's about recognizing those patterns of control and dominance that we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. And it's also important to pay attention to how they treat other people.
Right.
Do they respect boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
Are they empathetic and compassionate?
Okay.
Or do they exhibit those same manipulative behaviors in other areas of their life?
It's like that saying, character is who you are when no one's watching.
Exactly. If someone is willing to manipulate others in less significant relationships, it's a good bet they'll eventually bring those same behaviors into a romantic relationship.
Okay, so we've talked about vulnerabilities and red flags, but what about the consequences?
Yeah.
What kind of toll does this take on the victim?
The emotional and psychological impact of manipulation can be really profound. Victims often experience a range of negative emotions, from confusion and self-doubt to anxiety, depression, and even post-traumatic stress disorder in some cases.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Wow. So it's not just about feeling hurt or betrayed. It can have a real lasting impact on your mental health.
Absolutely. Manipulation is a form of abuse, and it can be just as devastating as physical or verbal abuse. Victims often feel betrayed, violated, and powerless.
Like their whole sense of self has been shattered.
Exactly.
And it's like they've been gaslighted, you know, made to question their own reality and sanity.
You got it. Gaslighting is a classic tactic used by manipulators. They deny events, twist facts, and make you doubt your own memory and perception, all in an effort to control the narrative.
Ugh. It's so insidious.
It is. It's like a slow drip of poison that gradually erodes your self-esteem and your sense of agency.
And the sad thing is, it often happens so gradually that the victim may not even realize what's happening until the damage is done.
That's right. And it's not just about the immediate emotional impact.
Okay.
Manipulation can also have long-term consequences, affecting your relationships, your career, your overall well-being. You might struggle to trust people, have difficulty setting boundaries, find it hard to move on from the experience.
Like a wound that just keeps hurting.
Exactly.
Even after the manipulator's gone.
And that's why it's so important to recognize the signs, understand the tactics, and seek support if you think you're being victimized.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what about those who witness this happening to someone else? I mean, what can they do?
That's a really important point. If you see someone you care about being manipulated, the best thing you can do is offer support, validate their experience, and encourage them to seek help.
So instead of saying something like, you should just leave, or why do you put up with that?
Right.
It's better to just be there for them and validate what they're going through.
Exactly. It's about creating a safe space for them to open up and share their experience without judgment. And remember, you can also seek support for yourself. If you're struggling with how to help a loved one who is being manipulated.
That's a good reminder. That this isn't just the victor's problem.
Right. It affects everyone in their circle.
Yeah.
It's about creating a culture of support and awareness where manipulation is no longer tolerated and where healthy, respectful relationships can thrive.
Yeah, that's a good goal to strive for. And, you know, as we've been talking about the devastating effects of manipulation.
Right.
It's hard not to think about the most vulnerable among us.
Yeah.
Which is children.
Of course.
We touched on it earlier, but how exactly do manipulators use children to further their own agendas?
Yeah, it's one of the darkest aspects of this whole topic. You know, children, especially young ones, they're so easy to manipulate.
Yeah, because they're still learning about the world.
Exactly. They're still developing their understanding of, like, social dynamics.
Right.
Emotional boundaries.
Yeah.
And sadly, some manipulators see them as pawns.
Oh, wow.
Tools to be used against their former partners.
So it's like using a child's love and trust as weapons in their own personal battles.
It's truly heartbreaking. And it can have devastating long-term consequences for the child.
So how does this actually manifest? What are some of the ways that this plays out?
Well, one common tactic is trying to undermine the other parent's relationship with the child.
Oh, okay.
So the manipulator might, like, badmouth the other parent, make false accusations,
right,
or create situations where the child starts to question the other parent's love or competence.
So it's about turning the child against the other parent.
Exactly. It's a form of parental alienation.
Wow. And that can really mess a kid up, right?
Oh, absolutely. It can have a huge impact on their emotional well-being and even their future relationships.
So what are some other examples?
Well, you know, a manipulator might try to control the child's access to the other parent.
Oh.
Like using visitation schedules as a bargaining chip or even withholding contact altogether.
Wow. That's really tough.
Yeah, and they might also pressure the child into taking sides.
Oh, forcing them to choose?
Yeah, forcing them to choose between their parents.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid.
It is. It's way too much. It forces them to grow up too fast and make adult decisions that they're not ready for.
Right, and it can create those feelings of guilt and all that.
Exactly. Loyalty, conflicts, you know, emotional distress. It's really damaging.
So what can be done to protect children from this kind of manipulation?
Well, the first step is recognizing that it's happening.
Okay.
If you see a parent consistently engaging in these kinds of behaviors, it's crucial to intervene.
Okay, so you're saying if you're a family member or a friend or even, you know, a teacher or something, you see these signs, don't just stand by.
Exactly. Early intervention is key. And that might involve talking to the other parent, seeking family counseling.
Okay.
Or even in extreme cases, reporting the situation to Child Protective Services.
So it's about taking those concerns seriously and really acting on them.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that children are resilient. With the right support and guidance, they can overcome those damaging effects of manipulation and develop healthy relationships with both of their parents.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Because this has been pretty heavy stuff.
It has.
We've talked about the different types of manipulators, the tactics they use,
right,
the vulnerabilities that they exploit, and the really devastating impact that their actions can have on individuals, on families, on children. So what's the one key takeaway that you want our listeners to walk away with today?
You know, I think the most important message is that manipulation is real. It's harmful. And it can happen to anyone. But we don't have to be victims.
Okay.
By understanding how manipulation works, recognizing the signs, setting healthy boundaries, we can empower ourselves and the people we care about to resist these tactics and build healthy, respectful relationships.
It's about taking back your power, taking control of your life, and knowing that you're not alone.
Exactly. And the more we talk about this, the more awareness we raise, the less power it will have over us.
Knowledge is power in this case, for sure. Well, this has been a really insightful conversation.
Yeah, Kat.
I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we hope you found this deep dive informative. And if you're struggling with manipulation in your own life, or if you're concerned about someone you care about, please don't hesitate to reach out for help. There are resources available. You don't have to go through this alone. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and take care.